And we get to conclude Romans chapter 8 today, which when I kind of looked at it, I thought, man, that is, you can't put that down to anybody's genius but the Lord's. That today is four of our young women walk through the catechism, study the Apostles' Creed and what it is to put our faith in Jesus. We get to center in on a passage that at its core says something along the lines of this: nothing could separate us from the love of God. We're going to sit in that together today, but kids, before we do, some of you might remember this guy. We'll throw up this picture here I think I've got. You remember this guy? At our family service the other day, we talked about turtles, right? And we talked about turtles for a reason. Romans chapter 5, so a couple chapters ago when we were in there, we read this passage of scripture from Romans. Grab my Bible. It starts, it's just a beautiful and exciting passage, and it starts obviously exciting. It says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is incredibly good news. And if you ever want to grow deeper in a fresh way in your faith, in your relationship with Jesus, in the good news of the gospel, come let me know you want to teach kids catechism. Walking for the last 6 weeks with these girls through the Apostles' Creed and through the foundations of our faith has strengthened my faith again in some really deep ways. It makes sense to me that Jesus said, if you can't come with the faith of a child, you can't enter the kingdom. Something so beautiful about just seeing the good news of Jesus through the faith of children. The passage in Romans 5 goes on, however, to tell us that not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. Because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Not only that, not only is there such good news in that Christ has come, that he loves us, that he went to the cross for us, but we also rejoice, Paul says, in our sufferings. And we've been talking about this over the last number of weeks, that life can be very difficult, that when we come to be followers of Jesus, it doesn't mean that everything's just going to be easy from that moment forward. And we certainly talked about this in our catechism class, that we've got a bit of a problem and that sin brings this problem into our lives and into our world, and we see it at play and are in need of God to do something. And so that's why Paul can say we rejoice in our sufferings, because God has done something. That as we suffer, endurance is produced, and we come to see that through that character is built and hope finally begins to rise up in our hearts. As followers of Jesus, we don't need to retreat into our shells like the turtle in the next picture. Turtles often, they're cute and they're whatever, but they often do this, don't they? And they do this when they feel threatened. They do this when they feel afraid. They do this when the going gets tough. But as followers of Jesus, we have no need to do this. We can remain, the Bible uses, this language of abiding. We can abide. We can stay present. We're going to get wet this baptism. Can you hear that? As followers of Jesus, we don't need to retreat into our shells like turtles when we face hard things. And the reason we don't need to is because we are never alone. That as followers of Jesus, Romans 6 then goes on to tell us in the next chapter, we are united to Christ. And that uniting with Christ happens, Romans 6 tells us, in the waters of our baptism. That when we're baptized into a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And so as the girls renew their vows, and as they go into the waters of baptism, a couple of them today, all of us remember the good news of Jesus that we've been sitting in this Roman series. In baptism, we are united to Christ, made one with him. And these are the kinds of things we say lots in church, don't we? We hear these kinds of things a lot, but I want us today, through the eyes of these young women, to watch and to hear their confession and to remember our own journey with Jesus, to be brought back and anchored in the profoundly good news that you have been united to Christ. Paul will literally say in another one of his letters, "No longer I who live, Christ lives in me." In baptism, we're united in Christ. It's a sacrament in which, right in the one sacrament, we see the two things we've been talking about so much over the last few weeks. We see the kingdom tension of suffering and glory. In the waters of baptism, we remember that we suffer with Christ as we die, as the old man comes to death. But we also remember that we are raised to new life, that we know glory, and so our hearts, our lives can be full of hope. The gospel changes everything. And it's so true for all of us, but just as true for the four young ladies that are going to come up in a moment. The gospel changes everything. It's incredibly good news for their future. We sang about that in the one last song, "Yet Not I," right? When the race is complete, we know what that will look like. There's a future hope. It's incredibly good news, but it's actually incredible news for us right here, right now. We don't have to wait. It's incredibly good news. It changes everything today. And when I say everything, I mean everything. So whatever you find yourself facing, carrying, walking with today, the good news of the gospel is relevant. It wants to come to bear upon those realities in your life. It's incredibly good news today, and even where you suffer. On your best day, on your hardest day, as followers of Jesus, you are united to Christ, and so you are never alone. And so Romans chapter 8 today, I'm going to read for us our lectionary passage. It's Romans 8 verses 31 to 39. And in these verses, Paul goes to great lengths to make a pretty important point. And it's this, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when Paul says nothing, you're going to hear it as I read. He means nothing. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? As it's written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am sure, Paul says, what a joy it's been to walk with Nora and Everly and Honora and Alexandra over the past 6 weeks and to watch that confident assurance grow in them. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that good? That is incredibly good news. One of the things we studied together was that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. And we got to talk together and just be reminded again that there's nothing that is that he didn't breathe into life. So when we read this, that all things were created by him, I love when Paul just, he lets out the list, he builds it as best he can, and then finally he just thinks, we're going to be here all day. Let me just put it this way. Nor anything else in all creation. In other words, nothing. Right? Because apart from creation, we're looking at him. And so amazing today to celebrate with the girls. I'm going to invite them to come now.